Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Post-trade deadline edition of Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And as promised, we're coming at you just after the trade deadline. It's Tuesday. And yeah, it was pretty exciting with Kyle Dubas doing some wheeling and dealing. And overall, I think we added and we didn't lose anybody off the roster. So that for me is good thing. So we're just going to go through this as quick as possible, I guess, as long as I don't talk too much. But that's what it's all about, talking, right? That's what a podcast is for. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to go through the players here as to what we think of them a little bit. And starting off, actually from last Friday, I think it was, where we got Riley Nash. Now, he's injured. He's from Columbus. We picked him up. He's 31 years old. I looked it up actually to see what his injury is, because nobody's actually said anything. But it's a knee sprain that he got, so he's out for the regular season anyways. But I think they have hopes for him to be ready for the playoffs. He's a centerman, and I think he'll be basically going into that third line center role as soon as he's ready to do that. But we haven't heard much about him. But I think actually that he is the better option than Engvall. Engvall could be out because of Riley Nash, depending. I mean,
well,
I don't know.
By all accounts, he is basically your kind of classic quintessential shutdown centerman. So he is basically good on defensive faceoffs. And also in the penalty kill, which we obviously need lots of help in. And as far was reading about him, and he actually ranks in the 99th percentile for defensive centers. So he is very highly ranked. He's not going to give you much offense, but, you know, we have that in spades. So we actually need people like him to really kind of hold down the fort.
Shut down. And,
yeah, definitely.
Shut down guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So really, Sheldon Keefe is the big winner with this pickup, I think. He's probably gotten a little bit more sleep since they signed him. And as far as how the wheeling and dealing went with this, like when this happened, I just was... I don't know. I'm kind of amazed at the way that Dubas and Co. are so creative, and they use every little inch that they can to their advantage. And, they basically took their situation, you know, with the injuries that they have, and made it work for them, and purposely went out and got a guy that couldn't play right now, so that they could save dollars. And also, he's like the perfect person for our needs. So I'm not sure how many people would have the stones to do that, you know, to actually pick up somebody that is sort of, you don't really know how they're going to be, but they must have so much faith in their, training staff as far as getting them back to health. I mean, we've seen firsthand, you know, what they've done with other people who have been injury prone and everything as well. So pretty
thanks to
cool.
Thanks to Brandon Pridham too.
100%
for thinking of all these things when it comes to the LTIR and the the salary cap and using everything that way to our advantage as much as we can.
So key. And I actually love that they don't talk about him much in the media because it's stealthy. The way he kind of works in the background, and I like it that way. So, So I thought that was really the key thing with that.
Yeah. And next we picked up Ben Hutton, I would say, from Anaheim. That was yesterday on deadline day. 27 years old. Basically, it's a deaf defenseman. He played a little bit with Jack Campbell on Los Angeles, which I didn't realize. So he did play with him. But what I loved about this was his reaction on Twitter. I think it was on Twitter. It was either that or he said it to some media member. He basically said he's so excited to be coming back to the crazy Canadian market and the crazy Canadian fans.
Yeah.
And it was definitely on Twitter because I tweeted back that us two are basically a part of that crazy Canadian market. I love that. He's because he played for Vancouver for a few seasons. And for me, he's going to be a depth guy. And I think it's going to end up that possibly they're going to want to give like Bogosian, maybe even Muzzin, I don't know, like give them a break before the end of the season. Like give them a game off, depending on how it's going, obviously. And then he'll be the depth D in the playoffs if we do get any injuries.
Obviously, we saw what a difference it made losing Muzzin at such a critical time last year.
Yeah.
And they have kind of fortified our D with depth so that if somebody were to go down, it wouldn't be as severe a hit as it was last year, hopefully. Yeah. But yeah, like we definitely needed to kind of stock up a little bit there because, you know, really, can you expect, you know, somebody like Sandin or Liljegren or even Marinson who haven't played at all, in for the big club this year. So how do you expect them to really step in and you know, provide anything for you that you could count on, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then we picked up David Riddick from the Flames yesterday, and he's 28 years old. Again, it's depth for the goalie position, which is just so complicated. We can't really even get into it here again. It's gotten more complicated, I think, as of yesterday, just the way it is. But hopefully he plays the way he did against us in February, that he gives us that same minute because he basically had a shutout against us back in February. And then he played amazing for that game. And then he also played very well in the 2-1 overtime loss against us. So I think, again, that's he'll be ahead of Hutchinson. And obviously he is because he's playing. I think Hutchinson, we're recording this on the Tuesday, so it's the game versus the Flames tonight, and Riddick is actually going to be playing against the Flames, his old team, right away. And Hutchinson, I'm assuming they're probably going to put him as the backup, and Jack Campbell might get the whole night off. So, I don't think it's a bad move to get that goalie depth considering what's going on with Freddie. We really don't know.
No, 100%. And actually, I mean, you know, the whole goalie injury situation, you know, has made all the moves that they were able to do possible in a sense, because putting him on the LTIR, Freddie, that is, freed up the space to really get all of these things done. So it is all about, you know, working with the situation that you're in and what you have. And the only thing that means is that really, how many games can he get in? They're going to have to be managing that cap situation on a day-to-day basis if he's going to be coming back at some point, because he obviously needs to get some games in, right, before
what I heard about that was that he might actually, as long as he agrees to it, Freddie might actually go and play a game or two with the Marlies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? The thing is that's something that used to happen all the time. Those conditioning stints. And it's not...
It's right down the road. It's not like he's going to, I don't know, Rochester or something. Exactly. I don't know.
But it's not something that's done very often anymore. But those conditioning stints used to be a regular thing. Like, so I don't see what the problem with that would be. And I think that probably would be wise for them to do, because really, like, you're not going to get up to, like, playoff ramp up, like, in such a short time.
He can't go into the playoffs not having played a game for anything.
No.
Like, it's like,
no way.
No, there's no way. No way.
No, because he's not usually a fast starter anyway. So, but this at least gives them the time to make sure that he is 100%. Because one of the things that was interesting, Bruce Boudreau was on The Fan a little while ago, probably a couple days ago this week anyway. And it was interesting when he was talking about Freddie, because he had him, of course, in Anaheim. And he's always sung his praises. And I remember when we first got Freddie, they interviewed him. He was no longer coach of Anaheim at that time. And he really, really said that we got a really great goalie through in him, which obviously... it's true. And the thing that he said this week was, though, is that Freddie is awesome, but he needs to feel perfect to play his best. He's not one of these guys that can push through with injury or if he doesn't feel right. And I think that's what we see, you know, like you can tell when he's off, when he's not feeling right. You can see it in his game. Whereas Jack Campbell is the opposite. He's kind of a little bit reckless that way, is that he doesn't feel good, but he pushes himself more than he probably should. So it's kind of like we have two extremes in the goaltending right now. We've got a guy who doesn't really feel like he can push and one that pushes too hard. So maybe Riddick could be that kind of, you know, nice
balance
in the middle, right? And and it gives Freddie time to get himself feeling great. And then, you know, who's to say that this isn't going to be the first time ever that we'll see him feeling his best because he's getting that time.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I think all of Leafs Nation wants to see that.
Yeah.
At least the people that cheer for Freddie, which we always cheer for Freddie.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then, okay. So moving on to... basically, I guess we consider it the prize of the trade deadline deal for us, and from what Kyle Dubas did for us, we got Nick Foligno, who's a left winger, 33 years old, from Columbus, the Jackets. And he did play some center a few years back. And what I love most about this, I mean, this is going from back in the day, from our 92-93 magical season there. And what I love how he remembers the celebration at the end. Do you remember that get together they had at Nathan Phillips
Square,
the celebration?
That was like that's basically our lifetime Stanley Cup parade right there.
Yes.
That was so great. That's what it felt like. Well, he was little too, like he's like five or something.
Yeah. He remembers that, and he says he remembers after going with his dad. Mike Foligno is his dad. I'm sure our listeners, most of them, probably know. And he was playing with the Leafs at the time, and scored the big OT winner in the Game 5 of that Red Wing, the first round series versus the Red Wings, and
big tuck jump.
With the big jump after he scores the goal. But he said that. Nick Foligno was saying that as he was walking down Yonge Street with his dad afterwards, I thought to myself, he was just walking down the Yonge Street. And then I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it's a different time. Like we used to, that's the way it used to be back then. You could randomly see these players on the street like that. But he was walking down Yonge Street and he asked his dad, he's like, so there's no more parties after this? He's like, right? It's like, oh, he was all sad, right? But I just love... I think that's an intangible going into this, like to have him on our team.
Yeah.
To say that he went through that too. So even though he was little, but his dad, like even he talks about it all the time too. Mm-hmm. Like he even said his dad, Mike Foligno, talks about that, that run that they had in 92-93. And he's going to wear number 71.
I know. I heard awesome. That. I think that's amazing. Yeah. Now, all he needs to get is that basically that round bowl that helmet like his dad used to wear. And then the look will be perfect. But anyway.
That's not happening, he said. But yeah, so...
I am like, I was really, really happy. Like when, you know, like obviously there was talk about that, you know, Toronto was interested and everything. And I was kind of hopeful, but I was like, you know, I didn't, because especially since it's coming from an American market, I knew he had a 10 team, no trade. And, so there's always like, these are the scenarios where, you know, we would lose out typically. Right. And, but then when it happened, I was like, wow, it really happened. And I think some people think it was a high price to pay, but I, you know what? We didn't give up anybody on our roster. Right. So, I was thinking like, okay, yeah. So we have like pick, you know what, 32nd, or let's say we pick 32nd in the draft because we're going to win the Stanley Cup.
we're going all in. That's exciting, it,
right? Basically, that is the point that I'm trying to make, that top or high or really, really low draft pick number, like what is, you know, I'd rather be putting the chips in right now and just going for it, because I think we need to see, and also the management and Brendan Shanahan needs to see how far these guys can go, and they need to basically tell them in not so many words that we're backing you by doing these things, so now you have to show up.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they've had the four seasons now with their, where it's the ups and downs of the playoffs, and they haven't won the playoff series. So this is really different as well, being putting all the chips in. Meanwhile, you haven't won with this group, this core group,
right?
You haven't won anything yet. So this is basically putting the ultimatum on these players.
100%.
And they've had enough experience, in my opinion. Like, they've gone through lots of ups and downs, regular season, playoffs. This is the time to do it. If you're not going to do it, then something bigger has to happen in the offseason.
For sure. And the thing is it's pointless dominating all of the stats during the season if you're not also going to dominate in the playoffs. You know, what is the point of like winning the Rocket Richard or being the points leader on your team, or, you know, top three in the league or whatever? What's the point if you're not going to be able to translate that into playoff success?
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we've kind of already said where most of the, like Nash, Hutton, and Riddick, where they're going to fit in. We kind of mentioned that already. Mm-hmm. But where do you think Foligno is going to fit in the line, like in the lineup? Where do you see him, like in with JT and Willie? Or
I kind of think that I see it probably mostly with JT and Willie, because, you know, poor Hyman, he's like shuttled around every freaking line. And this way, you know, that's one less line that he has to play on, I guess. So this is going to give JT and Willie a little bit more space, I think.
I think
that's probably the best spot. But, you know, third line.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but I think they're trying to get Hyman like on the third line, because like even the other night against Ottawa on Saturday night, when he scored the empty net goal, like JT passed it over to Hyman.
Because he's the specialist. Saying,
no, don't do that. Don't do the empty net pass. He's in a contract year. Don't you know that? Like, don't give him that. Don't give him more goals. He doesn't need points.
Yeah, but he's the specialist though for the empty net. That's why he's passed to him, because that's his thing. He's the empty net specialist.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think Foligno will probably end up on the left side with Willie and JT. Mm-hmm. And then, although some people are saying to put Willie up with Marner and Matthews, and
we haven't really seen that much,
and put Hyman put Hyman with, put Galchenyuk with JT and Foligno. Mm-hmm. And do it that way. But I don't know. There's going to be a lot of combinations. We can talk about that more in our regular episode. But with all these players now, though, who do you think will be taken out of the lineup?
I know. It's the very first person that came to my mind was Engvall.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. And like he's kind of gotten the, he was benched last night mm-hmm. versus the Habs. But I also think, like a lot of people are saying, Joe Thornton hasn't played that great either. And he may need a break. And it's going to be tough, though, telling him that he needs to have to be fresh for the playoffs. Like we need him more at that point.
100%.
So I don't know.
A little load management for him.
Yeah. That kind of thing. And then even possibly, I think, Galchenyuk, too.
That's the next person that I was going to say. Because, I mean, he really hasn't played a ton. He's doing well, and I think we all like him. But I think that he could end up moving down the lineup also.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So we'll see. Anyways, there's a few options there that Keith will be working on.
And now we don't have Barabanov anymore. So
yes, that's right. Yeah.
So that's one. See, that's again, like I was saying, these depth pieces, I almost think they get them over the summer for this moment, for these being able to be able to, you know, easily and without remorse move people off, because they're giving them a shot here to either reclaim something or make a name for themselves here. And they've done that. That's what they promised. And then they can move on from those people, and they've got assets that they can shed easily without, you know, worry. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should be seeing Foligno, hopefully. I mean, he has to go through the quarantine period, as well as Ben Hutton. They both have to do that, the 7 days. Mm-hmm. So we should be seeing him sometime next week. We're seeing Riddick tonight versus the Flames. So we'll have that to talk about definitely for our next episode, our regular episode next week. And it's lots to talk about.
Absolutely. So obviously, we always want to know what your thoughts are. We love to hear from you. So definitely give us your thoughts. You can reach us on all the socials at our handle at LTL1917. So we will talk to you again next week.
Go Leafs, go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.